All right. We're technically in Mark, but we're going to go to Matthew, because in Mark 6, verses 45 to 52, we have Jesus walking on the water toward the disciples while they're out struggling in a boat in the Sea of Galilee. There's some great lessons here, but Matthew 14 gives us more detail. So let's look at it from that angle, shall we? Pray for me. I'm switching blood pressure medicine tonight, starting tonight, one of them. Hopefully it'll work better and won't make me so stupid thirsty. Matthew 14 is very much more detailed. Mark is more of a summary. And let's begin reading in Matthew 14, verse 22. Well, I'll go back to 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Again, approximately 15,000. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now, this is not a ship like the Titanic. This is a boat, like we would think of a dinghy. And to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he'd sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Now, notice that word alone. One of the seven basic needs, someone has listed out seven basic needs of a husband. One of the seven basic needs of a husband is to have time to be alone with God. Men are just designed to need to spend some time alone with God, and that can be 5 or 6 minutes, or that, you know, of course, that doesn't mean women are not. It's just, it's very important for men to do that. And Jesus is no different. And by the way, I mentioned last week, he went up a mountain apart to pray. And I mentioned that if you don't get apart, sometimes you'll come apart. You have to just get with God sometimes when the stresses are bad and just listen to him. Don't talk to him. Listen. Most of the time we do all the talking. Do you remember Andy Griffith's show on TV? Okay, if you kids don't know what that is, then you need to watch it. There was a little boy named Leon. Now, Leon was Ronnie Howard. They're from Oklahoma. Ronnie Howard's little brother. He's an actor, and he was just like two, maybe, and he was wearing a cowboy hat and boots and all this, and Barney is in the store trying to pretend he's a mannequin to spy out who is the shoplifter, and it's this little old lady hiding stuff under her coat, you know. Well, he's trying to pretend he's a mannequin, and Leon comes up, and he just takes the sandwich. They baked him the biggest pieces of bread and peanut butter sandwich, and he's got a big bite out of it, and he walks up to Barney, who's in a mannequin, you know, pretend to be a mannequin, and he just holds it up there, waiting for Barney to respond. Y'all remember that? And he's going, "Not now, Leon, not now." He doesn't say a word. He just holds it up and waits for Barney to respond. And you know, we need to be like that with the Lord sometimes. Just hold up our problem to him and just wait for him to respond. Don't talk. Leon, I never saw Leon talk on the show. It was just always there with a sandwich. But sometimes we just need to, you know, quit talking at God and listen to him. Listen to him. Wait for him to respond. And sometimes he doesn't respond for a while. You just lay it all out and just let him speak. A lot of times he'll speak through the word. Almost exclusively, but a lot of the times through the word, and sometimes he'll speak in the spirit, sometimes he'll speak both. He does it differently. Now, look at verse 24. But the ship, the boat, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, Jesus is, you know, they're out there, and he's up on the shore, and he can see down and see what's going on. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, that'd be about 3 a.m., Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, do y'all need a happy spell tonight? Do y'all need a happy spell? wouldn't hurt any of us? Well, let me remind you that some of us tonight are in a storm. Some of us are down low. Some are in the slough of despond. But at some point in the storms of life, Jesus will come to you. He will. No matter what your problem, the key is to lift your eyes up off your problems and focus on the Lord Jesus, because He's watching over you. Y'all believe that? That's the truth. Notice verse 26. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, they didn't recognize Him, saying, "It is a spirit, it's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Now Mark says, as they were struggling, He would have passed them by. They were so busy trying to keep the boat from sinking that they almost missed Jesus. Now think about that. There's a great lesson here. If we're not careful, we can focus on our problems to the point that we miss what Jesus is trying to do in our lives. And by the way, if you don't want Jesus in your boat, if you don't want Him to come to your assistance, if you don't want Him, He's not going to force Himself on you. He's too much of a gentleman to force Himself on anybody. But if you want Him, He will respond if you'll call on Him. Notice what they did in verse 26. It says they cried out for fear. By the way, did you know that there are 365 fear nots in your Bible? 365 fear nots in the King James Bible, one for every day. I think that's beautiful. Verse 27, after they cry out to Him, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You know, have you learned that if you have Jesus, you don't need to be afraid of anything? I like what the psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then shall I be afraid?" Nothing. Now, do you worry? Are you a worrier? Do you chew your fingernails off to the elbows and live in Panic Palace on the corner of Fret Yourself Silly Boulevard and Stew Yourself Sick Street? Do you worry? Lots of folks worry. My mother would sit there and lock her car in a locked garage and lock the door to the garage from the house, convinced that if she didn't do that, someone would steal it. And they might get in the house while they're at it. They never did, so maybe she was right. But, worry. People, you all know what a germaphobe is? They just worry. Howard Hughes, probably the most famous germaphobe to ever live. Richest man in the world for most of his life, if not, at least the last half of it. And he lived on the top of a hotel floor in Las Vegas, scared to death of germs. Well, worry is kind of like a rocking chair. Keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You ever learned that? Have you learned that? Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you any very far. Always remember, beloved, that God is in control. And if you want help, if you need Him, just like Leon, lay it all out there for Him, hand it up there to Him, and let Him handle it. Years ago, there was a stupid television show. I can't even think of the name of it, but there was a character in it that was like a politician, and then he had this other guy, and he would tell him to handle it. Just handle it, handle it. And that's all I remember about the show. Handle it, handle it, handle it. And that's what we need to do. We just give it to God and say, "Lord, I'm going to trust You to handle it. To handle it." He will come to you. Now, He may not come when you expect or how you expect, but Jesus will come to you when you cry out to Him. Bill Gothard wrote an excellent little book years ago called The Power of Crying Out, which is well for any Christian to read. Now, Matthew is the only one who records what's next. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. Remember, it's 3 a.m. and there are no street lights, lights. If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You know, the one thing Peter couldn't stand was to be separated from Jesus. He couldn't stand it. And he's in this little boat, and someone says, hey, there's somebody out there. Wonder who it is. And somebody else says, it must be a ghost. It's floating on the water. People can't do that. Man can't do that. Peter thought, you know, the light came on in Peter's head. The only one I know that could walk on water be Jesus. Now, we're not talking about, you know, one time I was pastoring a church and we did a vacation Bible school 1 year, and this fellow told the kids in his class, every boy and girl who comes every night, comes every night, you can come and watch me walk on water on Friday. And made that promise every night. Crowds got bigger. The kids would bring somebody with you. And so got out on the parking lot of the church and took the hose and put it all over the water, all over the sidewalk, and walked across it. Said, see there, I walked on water. And that's not what Peter and Jesus did. Now, the liberal will tell you that what Peter did was not what Peter did. It says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Jesus said, come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Liberals will tell you, Peter was able to do that because the part of the water, where the Sea of Galilee where he was particularly shallow that time of year, and he knew where there were rocks underneath the water. That's very interesting, because in a moment we're going to read that when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to drown in 6 inches of water, or a foot, or 3 foot, even three. No, he was walking on water. Now, he says, invite me, Lord, to come where you are. And Jesus did. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Man alive. No flashlight, no nothing. He couldn't see the rocks if they were there. And he's walking on the water toward Jesus. But he got in trouble when he started to look down at the water. He's just like the rest of us. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we get in trouble. Years ago, and I've told this before, I'll tell it again because it's very appropriate. I heard my pastor as a little boy say this, and I didn't believe him. So the next time it snowed, I decided to check him out. He said there were three fellas, and each of them were standing next to a fence on the farm. And out in the pasture, way out yonder, was a big pine tree. And they decided to make a wager who could walk the straightest line to the pine tree. And the first guy said, I can do that. That's easy. And he gets his back to the fence, and he walks to the pine tree. Turns around, and he walked like this to the pine tree, zigzag, back and forth. He finally made it. Second guy said, I can do better than that. And so he walks to the same spot, walks to the pine tree, and of course he zigs the other way and zags the other way. He didn't do much better than the other one. Third one looks at it, they say, come on. And so he gets his back to the fence, and he looks at the top of the pine tree and walks toward it, and when he turns around, the line was straight. Well, I didn't believe that would really happen. My grandpa had a big pine tree, big one, probably 80, 90 feet tall out there in the pasture. And it wasn't snowing, but you know when you walk through a field that the grass is this high, you leave a path, right? So I decided I'm going to try that. And I watched the top of that. And you know, he was right. When I turned around, I had a nice straight line. And the point the pastor made when I was a little boy was, as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, he helps, like the Bible says, to make your path straight. It's really neat. Well, the moment that Peter took his eyes off Jesus, he began to look around and realize, listen, I'm walking on water. And I'm a human being, and human beings can't do that. And glub, 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 he began to drown. You see, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and when we do that and get him on our problems and all the rest, we begin to sink. And nobody sinks all at once. He didn't just go, boom. He just began to sink. It takes some time before everything just piles in on you. Verse 29 says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, he did the right thing, saying, Lord, save me. He began to sink. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Mark says that they had already forgotten the miracles of the loaves and fishes that we looked at last time. And they'd already forgotten. Now in the moments we have left, and this is, you're listening way too fast tonight, I'm going to be done a lot sooner than I thought, but y'all have responded so well. I do want to give you some rules for walking on water. Rules for walking on water. Next time your life begins to just envelop you, the problems begin to overwhelm you, you need some rules for walking on water. Now remember, this is what I'm going to say is a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, I'm going to make application on our level from this real event in the life of Jesus and Peter. The boat, I believe, represents what I would call tradition, our comfort zone, safety, security. And as long as we're in our comfort zone, we're not going to really step out and trust the Lord. Back in the late 20s, R.G. Lee was the pastor at the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. And they had just built a brand new auditorium, and the Depression hit. They'd borrowed the money from the First National Bank of Memphis. And he went down to the bank and talked to the bank president, Mr. Mahaffey, and he said, Preacher, you're a good man, but you'll never get anything done but to pay off that debt. R.G. Lee looked at him and says, Mr. Mahaffey, you talk like God is dead. And so they began to work to pay that debt off, praying about it. He was in another state preaching a revival. And the chairman of the deacons called him and said, Pastor, you've got to come back. We've got to get together with the deacons and we've got to have a meeting. He said, we are just about sunk. We're going to go bankrupt. And he said, you talk like God is dead. And he got on the train and went back to Memphis and sat down. And they said, we're going to have to file for bankruptcy. We can't make this known. And he said, well, what you're going to do is you're going to reduce my salary. Three times they reduced his salary. They said, well, why don't we reduce our giving to missionary? No, you'll reduce my salary. And they cut some other ways as well. And they got it paid came down to the last payment. And they had Mr. Mahaffey up at the church. And he said, I told the pastor I didn't believe it would ever get paid off. And then he said, here's the final check. You see, we can sit in our boat and be comfortable and act like God is dead. He can't help me. I've got this problem, and it's too big for me, but it's too small for God. We used to sing, how big is God, how deep and wide his vast domain, to try to tell these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. You know what? No problem is too small for God. No problem is too small. So the boat represents comfort, I think. And walking on the water illustrates living in the supernatural, the extraordinary, the life of faith. Peter exercised faith to walk out towards Jesus. By the way, when you get saved, that's exactly what you do. You step out by faith. And he grabs you and he takes you. And he never lets you go. We must decide to get out of our boats and start doing things the way Jesus would have us do, by following him. So there's three, by now you found something to write on, three rules for walking on water. Number one, decide to get out of the boat. Decide I'm going to get out of this boat. I'm not going to sit here in this pity party. I'm not going to wallow in this. I'm not going to let my problems and my circumstances overwhelm me. I'm going to get out of this boat and I'm going to do number two, and that is follow Jesus wherever he goes. I'm going to get out of this boat, number one, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to walk towards Jesus. And number three, keep your eyes on him no matter what your circumstances. Now that's so simple, easy to say, hard to do. Get out of the boat. I'm not going to sit here. You know, I have learned that there's some people that are not happy unless they got something to complain about. You met those? They whine and gripe and whine and gripe. Y'all remember Hee Haw on TV? Are you too sophisticated? And they had all the fellows, and they were standing around or sitting around, and they sang, gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And one of them would go, oh, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Another one, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And there's people that are like that. And any bad thing you can have happening to you, hey, that you think it's bad, listen to my problems. There was a funny skit that somebody wrote years ago where they had a bunch of old guys sitting around. And one of them talked about how hard it was growing up and how, you know, hard it was. And they said, well, you had it easy, you know. And he would then talk about how this, and the next one said, well, you think you had it. And around the whole room, the stories got taller and taller, worse and worse, and finally got to the last one. The first one said, you know, but you try to tell the young people that, they won't believe you. And all of them went, no, no, no. It's easy to complain. My dad said it doesn't take any particular talent to be a critic. Anybody can find fault and just sit back and gripe and tummy ache about what my problem. But, get out of the boat. Now, if your problem is you need a job, don't just sit around and say, now, Lord, send me a job. Now, pray about it, right? I mean, I'm not saying don't pray about it, but Lord, don't. Here's what God's not going to do. God's not going to drop a job in your backyard and say, go to work here. He's not going to do that. He's not going to say, here's your job. Work here. He wants you to put feet to your prayers. Pray for people to, get saved and join your church. Don't just say, now, Lord, send us people. Ask them. Invite them. Visit. Inquire. Do you go to church anywhere? Yeah. Well, that's great. Do you go to church anywhere? No. Well, we'd like to invite. In other words, don't just pray about it. Do something. Put feet to those prayers. Get out of the boat. Number two, follow Jesus. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. What? I will follow on. Amen? Follow him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Wonderful hymn we sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Get out of the boat. I'm not going to lay here. I'm not going to wallow in this anymore. I'm going to get out of the boat, and I'm going to, number two, follow Jesus. And then I'm on three, number three, keep my eyes on him no matter what. The storms of life. We used to sing, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me. listen, Jesus is there. And he extends his hand. Follow me. All we have to do is just believe him. And just do it. Because he's there. It's easy to say I'm going to get out of the boat. It's another thing to do it. It's easy to say I'm going to follow Jesus. It's another thing to do it. Because as soon as you decide that, the devil says, oh, really? Let's see about that. And he throws a big rock in your path. You ever had this happen? If you haven't, it will. Years ago, there was a cartoon. I played it for the kids. It's a Popeye cartoon. And Popeye is going up against Sinbad the Sailor. It's a color of, I forget the name of the studio that produced it, Fleischer's or something. Anyway, it was a 3D color cartoon made in the 30s, beautiful thing. And Bluto, who is Sinbad, you know, Bluto with the beard, he's grabbed olive oil and he's got a tube like a bamboo or something, and he puts a mouthful of beans or in his mouth, and he, you know, like a gun, and he's making her dance. The devil likes to try to make us dance. He shoots bullets, or like the Western, you know, the guy shoots at his feet and he got to start moving around. The devil does that. He just throws anything he can at you. But as long as you're following Jesus, you're fine. You'll be fine. And then, don't take your eyes off of him. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to keep watching him. No matter what anybody else does, no matter what any other church does, no matter what any other Christian does, no matter what the rest of the country does, I'm going to follow Jesus. Follow. I will follow anywhere, everywhere. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I am onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up, Lord. Help me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And in the midst of the storms of life, which will inevitably come, there'll be peace in the midst of those tumultuous waves. Well, let's pray.